Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we all those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 17, Denver. Episode 11 recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
First of all, Happy New Year.
Cheers. Happy New Year to everyone. Hope you all had a great holiday and ready to make 2024 awesome.
You okay? How was the holiday break for you? I know you went to Denver. Did you find Lauren? Did you smack Orion?
You know, I did have a long break. I think I took 10 days off from work. And yes, as soon as I landed the Denver airport, I'm just looking to see, do I see anybody with pink hair? Do I see anybody that looks like they might be Native American? Do I see, you know, Lauren anywhere? And everywhere I went to Union Station, downtown Denver, and then even went to Boulder. And nope, didn't see anybody. But I was looking. I was hoping I could run into Brendan and be like, hey, man, can I talk to you for a second? I just have a couple questions.
Why? I mean, he's not going to say much, and, you know, he has no emotion, so.
Well, there's no camera on him. So I figure if I just walk up and not even act like I do a podcast, but, man, you look familiar. Oh, yeah, I think I heard about that. How was it? Yeah. Why you do Emily like that?
The sneak attack. You know how much he likes that.
Yeah.
Well, look, you know, somebody already mentioned, hey, forgot there was an announcement. We'll get to that, too, in a little bit. So, yeah, Connie Poodlemom. And here's an interesting thing. First of all, Nikki, yes, we all agree, and we're going to get to that in a second, that Becca is a lunatic. And, oh, yes, Happy New Year. Yeah, thank you. Robin's rantings, raves, and robservations. I love the play on words right there, Robin said. She's expecting a wedding announcement that Terrell is going to add no braids to his wedding vows.
That does sound like something I would do. Do you promise to love, honor, obey, and no braids?
And don't cook unless you cook exactly the way I like.
Cheers.
See, we know you. We know you, man. We know you. All right. Well, look, you ready to get started on this episode, man?
Yes. Yes.
So let's start off this one with our favorite couple. I think you just mentioned them, Emily and Brennan.
You know, yeah. So
we see them making pizza and Brennan trying to move at the pace of the dough. I feel that we're talking to each other because then Emily's like, well, I got to be gentle because I'm maybe a little rough sometimes.
Yeah.
Put away the handcuffs.
I thought the exact same thing. I'm like, are y'all really just talking to each other? Or are we talking about pizza? Well, what are we really doing? So, you know, Emily is still saying that, you know, she wants Brennan to open up. Mm-hmm. And some of the exercises that Dr. Pia told them to do was to dress as comfortably or minimal clothing and practice touching exercises to touch each other. And so Brennan said he didn't like the forced touching exercises, mm-hmm, and just wants to hug. I'm like, how do you say friend zone without saying friend zone? Hey, I don't really want us to like touch each other in the face with not a lot of clothes on, but can we just hug? Friend zone.
If the thing about it is the way he played Dr. Pia's thing, like, you know, rather than doing that, you know, just boop, boop. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's not what Dr. Pia said. She didn't say, yeah, just touch him a little bit.
Boop him on my boop him on the nose. You're my best friend. Boop boop.
Oh, is that the poke? You know, we always question what's the poke about on social media?
Yeah.
That he thought the touching game she was talking about was that. Hey, Nikki B says Dr. Pia is ridiculous. I think it wasn't that bad what she was trying to say. She's just like, look, you guys need to take off some clothes and touch each other. That's all.
She was hoping that would build the intimacy. I think the problem is, in Brennan's mind, he sees too many other fingerprints where he's trying to boot, and he just can't deal with it.
She's not that pale. Stop it. Stop it. Ariadne says, Emily cannot be this dense. I refuse to believe it. I don't think she's dense. she's picking up on all these vibes. And Terrell has something to say about this when we get later on in the episode, because there's something else that she's doing that, or not doing, that's really working Terrell's nerves. And I won't get him started yet. We'll wait till we get later on. Karen also said they're not even friends. No, they're really not, right?
No. No. That hug they gave, that was like someone you hug at church. You're never going to see again. You're like, oh, this was a good service.
It's a 50s life set. He gave her a side hug.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really want to touch you, but how about one of these? Oh, this is awesome. All right, let's eat some pizza.
Oh, my God. They were hilarious. But, you know, what we did get to see, and I feel that they must have heard us complaining last year, last season, right? Well, yeah, technically last year was last season, the whole of last year. But the experts have been showing up a lot more this season, right? And we do get to see the experts here as all three of them are sitting down. Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew, and Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pia, and your favorite, Pastor Troy. My bad, Pastor Cal. Yeah. Now, Pastor Dr. Troy. Pepper does something that made you feel good because she's like, I feel terrible about matching Michael with his runaway bride.
Yes. So Dr. Pepper says she feels bad because she was the one that matched them. Mm-hmm. I've only been watching since season 13. Mm-hmm. This is my first time hearing an expert say, hey, that was my bad. Mm-hmm. I feel bad about this because I thought y'all two would work out, but I messed up.
Right.
She owned it.
Right. No, she did. She did own it. And what you may not have liked, because you liked the fact that she owned it, was what Dr. Pia did next. And I liked it because she's like, hold up now. Get over it. We ain't know. She was like, it ain't our fault. We matched them based on the analytics. And or was that Dr. Pia's way of saying, nah, look, I ain't matching none of these people.
I think that's Dr. Pia's way of saying, no, I'm not a part of the matching process. I come after the fact. So this ain't on me. My name's Paul. That's between y'all.
My name's Bennett, and I ain't in it. Yeah, she tried to distance herself really quick from that. I thought that was pretty good. Well, Michael shows up and the experts apologize. So again, she said she feels terrible. Then they actually apologize to him. How'd you feel about that?
I loved it because I still respect how well Michael handled that whole situation of getting, rejected right there at the altar. And the emotional intelligence that he has with how he responded to the woman that they matched him with.
Yeah.
I thought it was dope. I have a lot of respect for him and how he handled it, because not everybody could have handled it on live TV.
Yeah.
You know, like Kevin Hart says, in front of my friends, I don't know how I would have handled that. But the way he looked at it, he understood, okay, I could be mad, but looking at her and how kind of the distress and how distraught she was about the process, he just felt it'd be no good to do that. And I just have a lot of respect for him and how humble he was with the experts. Because we've seen other episodes or other seasons where they're like quick to blame the experts. No, you put me, Alyssa, the good person.
They did.
Yeah.
But he is showing the good guy side, right? I'm hoping by the end of the season we get to see a tad bit of the other side. If there is. Maybe he gets it all out because he's the one that does the kickboxing, right? So, but here's the thing that he did that I thought was cool. He admitted that the rejection was tough. He's like, I tried to be nice in that moment because I saw in her face it was this. And then, I went. But yes, the rejection was tough. And I cried.
I'd probably cry too.
Yes.
Yeah, I cried too. You own it. It's like, dude, we saw you cry. We saw you on TV. Cameras rolling your face. We saw it. And like,
they watched the tapes too, right?
Yeah, it was warranted. I think you earned the right to let that out, because that had to, to be rejected by someone you're trying to pursue is one thing. Mm-hmm. To be rejected by someone you started dating for a bit and they realize they don't like you, but to be rejected by a stranger who hadn't even met you yet, and they walk up, they're like, oh, so you're Yanni? No. Not doing it. I can't. That has to hurt. They haven't even heard your voice. Just like, look at you. Yeah, no.
No. Can't do it. Well, again, this is why we have to do season one, right? So we'll talk about that another time.
We don't have to do anything but stay black and die. Let's just start there.
You don't have to stay black. Look at Michael. So, you just got to breathe or die. If you don't do one, the other's going to come naturally. Okay?
True.
Now, Dr. Pepper, ever optimistic, says, well, look, would you be willing to be matched again? And Michael's like, look, I ain't giving up the screen time. Yeah. Match me.
Let's see where this goes. Why not? Mm-hmm. I think Michael's good for TV. I mean, his personality, his quirkiness, I think he's good for reality TV. So I really want to see where his thing's going to go.
Right. Now, it'll be interesting to see. By the way, you know how we were given, you said, my name's Paul. It's between y'all. Mm-hmm. You know, my name's Bennett. I ain't in it. Robin says, my name is Wes. I ain't in that mess.
Exactly.
Hilarious, man. Look, next couple up was these two, man. Claire and Cameron. Oh, they go indoor skiing. And first of all, I've never been skiing in my life, right? But that looked kind of cool because it's a great, it looks like if you fall, you're falling on carpet or something that's softer than the hard snow, because the snow, you'd think it would be soft, it's not, so I think it would be easier. Good way to try, and then to get on the slopes and really fall and bust your ass. But this looks like, it looked like fun.
That.
Except for them.
Well, that looked like fun because with my 49-year-old knees, I'm like, I'm not going to actually get on some slopes and do anything. I don't care if it's the bunny slopes. But that, I'm like, you know, I would actually try that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, Cameron's whole energy, he was not into it. Mm-hmm. Claire's trying to fake for the camera. And make mm-hmm. it seem like this is fun. Let me go between your legs. Will you? Yeah. Cameron was just like, I can't wait for this date to be over.
Can we blame him? I mean,
no.
Here's the thing about it. Because, you know, he's upset because she's saying one thing and doing another. Right? And then he's done. She's picking up on it. But you know why he's done. He tried before. And you kept shutting him down. And this was a trait that was common in the early seasons of Married at First Sight, where one person would be attracted, the other one wasn't. And then when that person that wasn't attracted finally became attracted, then the other person was tuned out. Well, things can happen and they get back together. This ain't happening at all.
No, and like I'm over Claire. Mm-hmm. I think she's really being fake. She keeps saying that she's trying, but like I don't see where. So mm-hmm. maybe I'm missing it. Maybe I had to go pee and I came back and I just missed the part where she was really trying to put effort in. But then when she said that, you know, she thinks that Cam is checked out and yeah. And quite frankly, it's making her uncomfortable. Really? Mm. Really? Right. It's making you uncomfortable? How do you think Cameron's been feeling this whole time?
Look, the thing about it is, and correct me if I misquote this, right? Because she also, she thinks Cameron may resent the time they're spending together. And she doesn't want to lose him because he's a good friend. I thought he was your husband.
Stop it. Because.
Yeah, what?
Okay, so here's what she said. He's like a best friend.
Right.
I'd hate to see how she treats people she doesn't like. If you treat your best friend the way you've been treating Cameron, goodness, yeah. How do you treat people you don't like?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I can't. Hey, shout out to your frat brother, man. Charles says, hey, guys, I'm back. And that's probably
Charles, the cleanest comment we're going to get from him. Don't start no shit, Charles. Don't start.
That's what I'm saying. That's the cleanest comment we're going to get from him. We know that. that is the cleanest it's about to be. It's Charles about to say something inappropriate in a minute. We already know that. Moondance, thank you, Moondance. You know, it's funny. I was going to get to that after Becca and Austin, but you're absolutely right. And I appreciate you telling everybody, don't forget to like this video. This at the time was 178 watching, only 14 likes. Hopefully we're at least at 15. Let's get a couple more likes in there. Do us a favor. Hit that like button, please. And if you're not subscribed, hit the subscribe button too.
So just a quick comment on Carolyn Wilson. Said Claire sends very clear messages that she is better than anyone else. Wouldn't want her as a therapist. Mm-hmm. So while I was in Denver, one of the friends that we're out there seeing is a therapist. Mm-hmm. And I had to ask, I was like, so can you be a therapist without a master's degree? Because she's actually working on a master's degree. So mm-hmm. I don't believe she is a licensed practicing therapist. It's what she's going for. But but she's nowhere near a licensed practicing therapist. So all of our judgment about her not being a good therapist is right because she hasn't done it yet.
Right.
So there's that. Mm.
Well, you know, the way we have been saying, and a lot of people in the comments have been saying, I think Indigo Blue 50 says it and speaks for just about everyone. Yes, Claire's fake.
Fake. Fake.
That's exactly what I think everybody's getting off of that. Next up, Becca and Austin. These two right here, man.
I got to take another drink.
Because Becca's in shambles. We meet, and all of a sudden, she's like, what is going on? And it's all because of a conversation we find out about religion. So now they have to meet with Pastor Troy. Cal.
So I'm curious. I'm like, oh, great. They're talking religion again. Why is she crying? Like, what did he say?
Right.
And then this woman tells me that Austin's religious belief is that when she dies, she's going to hell. And that's what she's so upset about. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then Pastor Cal or Troy was like, wait, well, do you believe in hell? No. You're upset about going to a place you don't even believe in going, and you're not dead yet. And then she's like, we're not going to be in the same place together.
That, why now do, that right there was
okay,
it.
Okay, I don't knock people being religious. I don't knock people being religious. It's not for me, but I don't knock people being religious. But I think it is a crazy town because the way I was raised when I was raised in the church, it's your spirit goes to heaven, not your body, not your flesh. And mm-hmm. so do people really think that when me and my partner die, we're going to meet up and have a two-bedroom townhouse in heaven and live together? Like, she's so upset. Like, we're not going to be in the same place together. Are you shitting me that's what she thinks?
That's what got me. When she said that, not being in the same place. Okay, I get it. Together forever, you know, Rick Astley style. I get it. However, come on, man. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm like,
this is what's got you in tears.
And who's gonna be my plus one at dinner with Jesus if you don't come with me to get married? I'm gonna have dinner with Jesus by myself, and it's gonna be so horrible. It is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Be religious, believe in what you want to believe, whether there's hell, heaven, doesn't matter. But her being that emotionally distraught over that conversation, huge red flag.
Yo, you gotta give Austin props. Or wonder what's going on in his mind. The way he still stuck to her with her crying over. I mean, she bawled as if he told her, you're filthy, you're dirty, you're scum, and you'll never be anything. You ain't shit. You don't believe in Jesus.
Look here, Jezebel. You going to hell. You ain't going to be with me and the Father. You going to hell. Maybe I'll give you a glass of ice water once a year. But other than that, we done when we die. You got like nothing.
Kitty says those were her ovaries speaking.
To be that emotionally distraught, to me, was the biggest concern. So I'm like, really? You are upset over a place that no one can validate is real. Mm-hmm. And you are crying, thinking that y'all could be in a separate place, as if you're going to die together. Because mm-hmm. that's the other thing. How many times do you see one person go, the other one goes later? Was the other person that dies first? Are they pissed because they're waiting for you to hurry up and get to the room? I've been sleeping by myself up here in heaven for 10 years. You down there eating kale, living a good life. Get up here.
Have a piece of bacon and die. Come yeah. on here. Okay. What did you think about Pastor Cal and the way that he kind of, because, you know, the way he went was like, he pretty much just said, hey, all religion is the same. That's what he got Austin to kind of say, right?
Well, I respected how he did it because he's a pastor. Because I was wondering, okay, where is he going to go with this? Mm-hmm. Because you would think that he's going to be like, well, Becca, to be honest.
Actually, Becca, I've got
from what I teach on Sundays, you would be going to hell. But think about your time on earth. Focus on that. Like, I really thought that's where he was going to go.
Oh,
but funny. I respect how he handled it as someone who's not religious. I was like, man, that's really the way he said it was great. Mm-hmm. And hopefully made her feel good. But again, I'm looking at Austin the whole time. His body language is like, are you kidding me? Like, this is where we're at right now.
Yeah.
All this emotional stuff. This is where we're at right now.
Here's the thing about it, because you like the advice Pastor Cal gave. So did I. You know, the thing that got me, though, is after Pastor Cal, which did you, was he back in his car again?
No, he went in his car. He's at a desk.
Okay, I was about to say, damn. we might have to give him another name in a second. Pastor Cal Jackson, we might find out. But after they talk to Pastor Cal, Becca says, she's sitting down there, they're having this conversation, and I think it's going well. And then Becca says to Austin that if he believes that she's going to go to hell, then it's not going to work for her.
I'm like this, when I die, I don't care where you go. To be honest, I don't care where you go. You can go to hell, you can go to heaven, you can go to Applebee's, you can go wherever you want. I don't care. I'm gone. Why does it matter? But the way she handled that, I was just like, oh, I just can't believe how emotional she was about the thing. And then she tries to say that, he said that he loved her when he was kind of joking. And I like how Pastor Cal was like, look, we didn't put you two together because you have the same religious beliefs.
Exactly.
We put you together because this is your match. Mm-hmm. And all that extra stuff doesn't matter. But yeah, that was a bit much for me. Like, if I was Austin, I'd been turned off.
Now, Tara G says Austin isn't interested in Becca and is looking for an out without looking bad. Well, if so, he got it today. That would have been, because the minute she said, if you believe I'm going to hell, it's not going to work out. Well, I was taught this as a kid. I'm sorry. Do I believe you have known for 4 weeks or my pastor I've known for 4 decades? You know, so if he was looking for an out, that would be it. It's a 50.
I don't think he's looking for an out. I don't think he's looking for an out. She's giving it to him. Yes. He's trying. She keeps giving him outs. So that's on her.
It's a 50s life. Says Pastor Cal is like that friend you call with your problems, but he's low-key sick of the ish. That's how he looked, though.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. He's just, look, just go do 2 Hail Marys and go F yourself. I can't deal with the rest of this.
If the lightning strikes on that side, we know what happened. A.S. says, he said, I'm going to hell. That issue was like mediating my 6th graders. You know what? Kudos to you. I couldn't do it. Mediating 6th graders, teaching 6th graders, being stuck in a room with 6th graders all day.
Yeah. Hey,
hats off to you, for real.
Hats off to it, but I just, not even 6th graders. I couldn't be in a room with Becca. So I'm gonna be like, what did you just say? I'm like, girl, I can't. Girl, bye. I can't deal with you.
Hey, Kitty made a great point, though. Becca did say she's always looking for things to go wrong. And if you're always, what we always say, when women like to go digging through your stuff, what do you say? If you go looking for something, you're going to find something.
That's everybody. Cops, too.
Right? So usually they put it there, though.
You're going to find something. But no, she's, again, I don't understand why she's the way that she is. And
yeah,
I've dated someone that was like this, that was very emotional about everything. And that just turned me off so much because I'm like, why? Like, I need you to freaking cowgirl up, as we say in Texas. Have a bit of a backbone about some stuff. But for her to be that emotionally distraught over, I may be going to hell in his eyes, and this upsets me because we're not going to the same place?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Great point, Black Tornado, before we get off of them real quick. She said she's happy that he didn't back down. Mm. She didn't seem happy to me at any point. Mm.
Yeah, but, I'm happy that you like my drama.
Yeah. Oh, man. These two. Well, next we get mixed couples. Because you get Claire and Lauren talking and Cameron and Orion speaking.
Let me get another drink.
Look, first of all, we got to drink. Before we even get to them, I got to get to this because Happy Gardner says, another drink, Terrell? No dry January?
I'm not a quitter. It's not in me to quit. I'm an alpha. Yeah. We don't quit. We don't give up. If we're good at something, we keep doing it.
In dry January, who celebrates these silly holidays?
Hey, whatever people got to do for themselves, I'm like, nope. Nope. I'm still going to do me.
There you go. So Cameron tells Orion that he's reaching his breaking point with Claire and that he had feelings for her. Very specifically said he had feelings. Cameron's done.
Yep. 100% he's done. And he's talking to, and I think he's reaching out to Orion, not because Ryan is some wise sage. He's right. Just like, wait a minute, you chose yourself and you got out. Let me talk to you and see, you know, let me process it on my end. And interesting thing is that Cameron feels that if he tries to leave Claire, Claire's going to throw something out there to try to keep him in and like reel him back in, such as saying like, I'll miss you or whatever. So he's like thirsting for some type of connection or hope in their relationship. Now, Claire is talking to Lauren and it's night and day different because Claire still keeps saying Cam is not attracted to her. And she's
as many times as he said that in front of everybody, in front of her, to her, in front of the entire group, in front of the experts. All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
Claire says they hit a wall, but I think the wall is her.
Yes.
And she thinks Cam wants a divorce. Now, this is the only reference I'll make to the after party because everything else after party wasn't good. This is the only reference I'll make to the after party. Claire says in the after party when Keisha asks her about this scene, she says that he's not showing her the things off camera that he's attracted to her. And Keisha's like, well, what does that look like? And so then Claire tells the story that she was out drinking with some of the other folks. Cameron wasn't there. She goes out drinking, talking about the relationship. And I was trying to make it work. She comes home and she says that she proceeds to try to have sex. Mm-hmm. And Cameron says, no. And I'm like, okay, Claire, let me just stop you there. First, any guy that's into you and likes you, if you try to throw sex at him, he's not going to say, no. Even if you wake him up at 1 o'clock in the morning when you're drunk, he's going to be like, let me go brush my teeth. Let me get a Red Bull. I'll be right. Give me 30 minutes. But she's not kissed him on camera.
She's asleep. She's drunk.
She's not done anything with him. She's not shown him any affection. How's it all of a sudden she just tried to sleep with him and he rejected her? She's a liar. A liar.
She is. We don't believe her. We do not believe her. I mean, and the other part about it is, I mean, what makes you think that you come home after being out drinking, so obviously a little tipsy, maybe a little drunk, that the man that you refused to touch, refused to kiss, didn't want to be around, actually wanted to move out of the apartment, is going to think, yeah, let me get some. No, because you've been switching your mind back and forth. He doesn't want to wake up the next morning to say to some words that were being said, like, oh, he took advantage of me. So if that actually happened.
100%. So I agree with Nikki B here. She may have been sloppy drunk and he didn't like it. If I've been trying to be affectionate with you for a month and you've not touched me, you've not done anything, then all of a sudden you come home drunk.
Yeah.
You think I'm going to be into it?
Right. No. Exactly. You know, I know you said it's the only time we're going to talk about it. So I wanted to bring this up here. Tasha says, if y'all talk about the after party, can y'all share your thoughts on why the women always wear pink on each episode? I never noticed that. But I don't watch the after party very often either.
I notice it, but I think it's part of the show. I don't think that they just coincidentally all show up wearing pink. I just think that's the theme that they have them do. And so I think this whole season you've seen, and even at the reunion, we've seen pics of the ladies at the reunion all in pink. I just think it's just the show and how they did it.
Yep. No, exactly. Totally agree. Totally agree. Well, look, one-month anniversary. And who we got to start with? This couple. Again, we're right back with them. Claire and Cameron. This is why the heavy sigh, okay? Because what are they doing? They're not celebrating it, of course. Are we surprised?
Which, I'm not surprised, but I'm proud of Cameron. Because he chose himself. He's like, hey, we don't really want to do this. And I think Claire was trying to say, like, we decided we didn't want to, because it'd be weird. It's like, no, Cameron didn't want to spend his one-month anniversary with you.
Right.
And that's what it boils down to. So I'm glad that Cameron decided to celebrate his 1 month anniversary with other people and not Claire.
He went bike riding and he said he was, spending time with people who actually like him.
Surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise.
Speaking of surprises, Claire acts surprised when she got a text from Cameron saying, "Hey, honey, I ain't never coming home."
You know what that reminded me of? Remember in Harlem Nights when old boy called his mom on the phone?
That was actually the reference I just made.
"I ain't coming home." Yeah, that's what it reminded me of when he did that. I was just like, they couldn't text back then in Harlem Nights, but Cameron did it. I don't blame him for saying, "Hey, I'm not coming. I'm good." Hmm. I was like, good for you, Cameron. Because sometimes, you know, you got to stick up for yourself in this, right? And this applies to the ladies too. Right. That, you know, you got to be able to stick up for yourself. But I applaud Cam for saying, like, you know what? I'm good and I'm done. And I'm going to move on. And what annoyed me the most is when Claire's telling the story about it. She breaks out the your favorite phrase, the WWTs.
Yes.
The white woman tears. And it just hurts. It's like, this is all your fault. Mm-hmm. This has nothing to do with Cameron. This is you.
So did you notice she rubbed her eyes? I got one. A tear. And let it trickle down.
Oh, thank you. It does the little lip quiver, the fake lip quiver. No, girl, you're not upset. You are happy that this dude is not going to be in your life anymore because you don't want him.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'm done with her, man. I'm done with her. Let's get on to back to Becca and Oscar. Oh, man. Look, 1 month anniversary. Here's the thing. Hold on, let me just pull them down real quick. Because it's the 1 month anniversary. None of these couples have consummated a marriage. They've all been married for a month, except Lauren and Orion, who are getting a divorce. On annulment, since they also didn't consummate. What's going on here?
Well, possibly, if there was any couple that maybe has consummated the marriage, Becca and Austin.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Right? If you can, you know, screw through tears, maybe. But I said it. But I don't think any of them have, which is interesting because I remember everyone kept telling me about season one, the couple that never slept together. They wind up being married. They still have kids. Mm-hmm. That's the exception. It's not the rule. Mm-hmm. All these couples to me are jacked. Mm-hmm. And outside of Michael, because we don't know what's going to happen there, but these other groups, done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's how they start off their 1 month anniversary. They watch a video of their wedding. And seemed pretty cool, right?
It depends. So here's my thought when I watched that video. So they're watching a video of their wedding. And in my mind, I'm thinking, how many times have you been out with somebody and a month or two in where you're like, oh, my God, this is bad. Mm-hmm. And you think back to how did I not get out? And so I'm thinking, like, it was Austin watching this going right there. Oh, right there.
That moment.
That was it. I should have paid attention right there.
What I noticed that they didn't show in the video, and I wonder if it shows up, because you remember at the altar. And the only reason I remember this, because I thought we were about to show it and she was going to make a reference to it. He never looked at her during the vows. He was constantly looking at the pastor, whether he was just nervous and that's what it was. But I don't know. It's one of those things I was kind of worried, were they going to bring it up? And was she going to start crying about that again? Thankfully, they kind of skipped past that. We didn't have to deal with that.
Here's the thing about their wedding, because remember, everybody was talking about how she said a cuss word in church.
Mm-hmm.
And not knowing how religious Austin is. But you look at where we're at now.
Wow.
Right. But remember, she did that. And now here we are where religion, everything is a big deal.
I forgot about that. Wow. I forgot about that. Well, they end up going ice skating. Right. And Becca looks like me on the ice. Matter of fact, Becca looks
like me in a roller skating rink. I've never ice skated. So I would have definitely grabbed those training wheels. Look like the baby.
They might as well be training wheels.
Yeah, little carrier deal with the restaurant.
The walkers, yes.
Yeah, I'm just sitting there just like, but I've never ice skated, but I totally would have grabbed those.
Yeah. Look, they had a good time though, man. Then after that, they're roasting marshmallows. And Austin has some really nice words for Becca. And then Becca kills the mood by going back to beating that dead horse up. Well, you know, we need to talk about this thing.
And even Austin even Austin said before they went ice skating, it's after they watched their wedding video, let's make today more fun and less emotionally exhausting. Mm-hmm. All right, so ladies, if a guy tells you, hey, I want to hang out with you tomorrow, but I don't want it to be emotionally exhausting, he's giving you a heads up. Don't bring that bull crap. And ladies could say the same thing, too. If a guy was emotionally exhausting, you're giving a heads up. Hey, I'll go on a date with you, but I don't want it to be emotionally exhausting. I want it to be fun. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she ruined it. And then even after the fact, she says, well, happy 1 month. And then looking forward to spending all the time with you until we die. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Until I go to hell. Until I go to hell and you go to heaven without me.
Yeah, I hope this is all front until we both die and you go to the nice, beautiful heaven and I go to the hell. Yeah, no.
Well, you know, Kitty says she's going to hell with gasoline drawers on.
She could be. But you know what? I don't know. I'm not going to be there. I don't care. Huh? I said, am I sure? Yeah, I made a deal. I made a deal. I'm not going to say who I made a deal with, but I made a deal.
Okay. Hope it was a reliable deal.
Hey, Emily purgatory needs supervisors and managers. I'm going to be in the purgatory stage.
Somebody's got to control that traffic.
I got to run some shit.
Emily and Brennan. Emily says the first month, they're on their way to their outing. She says the first month went by fast, but the next month may go by slow because we got some serious ish to talk about.
Yeah, I don't think they do. She has serious stuff that she wants to know, but Brendan's never going to tell her. So there's that. You know, I thought that date was cool. Have you ever been horseback riding? I never have. Mm-hmm. I've never ridden a horse.
Really?
So, yeah, no.
Hold up. I'm coming back to Texas. We know there are horses in Texas. I went skydiving. You got to go horseback riding.
Actually, no, I think we should go skydiving in Houston because the place that we went skydiving in San Marcos, they also have a facility in Houston. And I think we should re-up and do that one more time.
So horseback riding it is. Gotcha. So skydiving, when they went horseback riding in the snow. What'd you think of it? You've never been horseback riding, but what'd you think of this date for them?
I thought this whole date for them was great. I mean, I love the snow. I think it's just beautiful. Be out there. Brendan has this cool horse named Gucci. Mm-hmm. And what kills me is that Brendan seems to have a stronger connection with Gucci more than he does with Emily.
Gucci
has been ridden by way more strangers than Emily has. But he connects with that horse.
Because, look, the funny thing is, Emily liked the fact that he bonded with the horse. He's like, he showed some emotion. But then she got jealous because, like, you know, Brendan felt a spark. With Gucci, but not with her Uchi, Wally Wally Uchi Bang Bang.
I'm just like, you don't want to touch Emily, but you really love this horse who's had a lot of people on it.
Oh, he was stroking that horse.
Oh, he loved that horse. I'm just like, how is this any different than what you're concerned about with Emily? But whatever. Right.
That's funny. That is actually funny. And true. We think. We have no idea. We have never heard her number. We're not going to ask because we're not that intrusive. So we don't know. What do you think when they go to dinner and Brendan calls Emily a red flag?
Okay, two things I thought about it. First thing is I have also in my younger dating days have had foot and mouth disease where I've said some things and it totally ruined the date. I get it. But I couldn't believe he literally said that to her face. Mm-hmm. That, hey, you know, you're kind of, and she's catching it. Now here's where I started to get annoyed about Emily. Mm-hmm. Use your voice. I wish she would stop with the facial expressions. I think somebody commented in there about that, but you're 100% right. Stop making these eyes, use your words. Somebody calls you a red flag. You say something to them right there, but the dude straight called her a red flag.
Well,
and he keeps saying this, you know, I'm taking it day by day. It's been a month. You still got to take it day by day?
Yes.
Please.
That's how you get through a month, day by day. You can't skip days.
No, you can't skip days, but I can skip you. After day 7, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna pull an Orion. Check, please. I'm out.
Hey, Ariadne says, well, Emily is a red flag. We talked about this last episode 2 weeks ago. I mean, you say there's nothing wrong with the high body count, the high one night count, you know.
Here's what I said. I did say that. I can't say Emily's a red flag. You can say it's a red flag. She has been in a relationship. But here's the thing. She's 31, right? Mm-hmm. What if, when she says she's had one night stands, what if she's had 10 one night stands in 10 years and that's it? Does that change anything about her compared to
once a year, you just got to wild out? Is that what it is?
Once a year, she just gets a piece of strange. And so many of us can relate to that if we want to be honest with ourselves. I don't know how many people she slept with. Who know? What if it was 5? It doesn't matter. But the thing is, you choose to marry a stranger. You go on a show to marry a stranger. You got to accept all about this person and be able to work through it. He's not even trying to work through it.
When somebody says they love one night stands, that doesn't mean they've done it once. I won't say matter. I love skydiving. I say I enjoyed skydiving. I did it once.
Great, you enjoyed it, but like, I'm not even gonna say it because I got people that watch this. I was about to say something. I'm like, nope, I can't do this. I got to go to work tomorrow. I'm just trying to stay in purgatory. I don't want to go to the
other. Don't go to hell. You're Becca
down
there.
All I'm saying is, I don't want to be someone that's judging her on that because I don't know how many people she slept with. She could have had 5 one-night stands. It doesn't matter. I don't know how many people she's been with. Maybe Brennan does, but I think he's being very judgmental and not even trying. But he's also not even telling her, like, here's the issue. Can we talk through it? And maybe she might say, well, Brennan, can I be honest with you? I've only had 8 one-night stands. All the other guys I didn't sleep with. I've only had sex with 8 different people in 10 years. That's not bad numbers.
Yeah, I think we know that's not the number. Zoe says, why didn't she ask what the red flags were? Because he wouldn't have answered.
No, he won't tell her.
Yeah.
He won't tell her.
Yeah. It wouldn't have mattered. He wouldn't have answered her. It's, you know. Nikki B says, the issue is telling folks your sex history like a moron. Black Tornado says, his anger problem is a red flag. You know what? The more this season goes along, every week, you see his face tense up just a little bit more. You can see that anger. If this was a cartoon, there'd be smoke coming out of his ears.
Yeah, maybe. But still, I still think that Brendan is wrong in how he's handling this. And I think that people are judging Emily without even knowing how many one-night stands she's had. And to be honest, it's none of our business how many one-night stands she's had because she's grown. But I think we are just making an assumption that she just sleeps with everybody. And I don't think that's true. We don't know that.
Hold on. It's not just my thought. Shoshana says, Yanni is so right. We can stop right there.
Oh, that's a, so.
No, but we'll continue.
Everybody,
we'll continue.
That's what all you got to do is put Yanni is so right, and he's going to highlight your comment. That's all it takes.
Exactly like you do. Now, but what she did say was, if you love something, you seek it out all the time. Absolutely right. She loves one night stands. You know what she does? Turn it up, and then turn it up.
I love crawfish. I don't seek it out all the time.
Oh, once a year? Is that what it is?
No, it's a season. So there's a season that I whore out on crawfish, right? I have a lot of one-night stands with crawfish from around February till about May time frame every year. And I don't feel bad about it. You can judge me if you want.
We're not going to judge you, man. Look. We got to find a new graphic for him, but we're going to come back with the original for him, you know, the Ghost Bride of Michael, right? Because Michael's back. This time, I just wanted to put it up there and take it back down, man. We can't do him like that. But Michael is back, and he's sitting down with his friends. He's telling them about the possibility of being rematched and wants to know what they think. Like, hey, I'm about to make another terrible decision. What do you guys think?
Well, I thought it was great, and I liked his friend Paige, who was really concerned about him getting hurt again, you know, because her question was, what's going to be different mm-hmm. in this process. If they try to find you someone else, they really screwed it up last time. Mm-hmm. What are they going to do different this time so you're not as hurt as you were? Which I thought was, that's valid. And I really like the fact that you have a friend in your corner that thinks that way.
Yeah. Look, Valid Chris says, Michael is a fool, fool. Listen to those friends.
Fool me once. Shame on me.
That is funny. Well, look, Dr. Pepper runs up on them, right? And as she's getting there, Michael's like, oh, be careful, because Paige has got some words for you. And sure enough, Paige had some words for her. Like, look, here's my problem. I like that Paige didn't back down. She's like, no, here's my issue, Dr. Pepper. After, the day after, we all got together, and Michael said it was the biggest disappointment in his personal life. Mm. That is a big statement to make. Mm-hmm. We all understand why. But that is, I felt the weight. When she said that, I felt the weight of that statement. I really did.
Well, I mean, if you think about what he went through, right? And I think those of us who watch the show, we take this for granted. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine being embarrassed like that on mm-hmm. national TV over yeah. and over? It's not like a one-time thing. They showed it and that's it. Right. We talked about this
yes.
for 11 episodes. Mm-hmm. And so he's putting himself in a vulnerable spot, but I respect that he's willing to do it again. Mm-hmm. And that he's very open to the process. Because I think Michael's a different kind of dude. And I think maybe this process is going to be best for him. But I applaud the fact that he's still willing to give it another shot.
You know, you're right. He's a different kind of dude. Because according to Keaty, Michael is back with a stupid haircut, dressed like Urkel on the after party.
Okay. Yes. I saw the haircut. I
didn't
like,
see it. Michael. I didn't watch it.
I'm like, Michael, why? I'm like, why? Why are you doing this to yourself? But then that's his stick, right? Yeah. He's different. He's a different type of dude. So, mm-hmm. you know, I get it. But yeah, I did thought that was, I didn't realize that was him at first. When I saw in the after party, when it first comes on, I'm like, oh, who's this guest that they have here in the middle? I'm like, we're with Michael. I'm like, Michael?
Yeah, Michelle says, Michael has super nice guy vibes. That's never gone well on this show. You got to be an ass to make it. You'd do great on here, Tara. That's what she's saying.
Sir. Sir. Keep in mind, they don't come after 49-year-olds. If I was the same age as these guys, 25 to 30, and you knew me in those years, no.
Hold on. Because Married at First Sight, Austin,
stop.
They just went right above your age range.
Stop. Yeah, I'm not 55.
Hey, all you got to do is something. Look, hey, black don't crack. Trust me, I can do this.
They got to pair me with some leather face. She's only 59, but she looks like she's 65.
Hey, if you haven't already, do us a favor. Hit that like button, please. If you're not subscribed, make sure you subscribe and hit the bell for notifications as we get to the next exciting event of the evening, the group anniversary dinner.
Woo!
And everybody, you pick a question and you ask this at the dinner table. So Becca kicks it all off and says, hey, if you could go back in time, give yourself some advice about this process, what would it be?
So Emily says, ride the wave and be open.
Yeah, she's been trying to ride the wave since the wedding night, but go ahead.
And she's been open this whole time. Just no one's coming through the door. Hello?
Anybody here?
Anybody here? Hello, come on in. Anybody?
That's what Brennan's afraid of, but go ahead, continue.
True. So she says, ride the wave and be open. Then she passed it to Brennan, who said, Cam, you can go. I got nothing. He said, I got nothing. And so, of course, now there she is making the faces and the, you know, the eye thing, which makes no sense to me. So then Cameron says, no matter how hard you think it's going to be, it's going to be harder, which I think that's valid. I think it's good. Claire said, you'll be confused and not sure how you're going to feel, and to be aware of that and be able to move through that, because she's great at giving this advice.
Right.
Because she's done it. No.
But she says there's no manual, though. I mean, so, you know, whatever.
There's no manual? There's no manual for how to be married at first sight. But I think that we've grown up with a manual just how to treat people nicely.
Yeah. That's true.
And be respectful. She didn't have that. Austin said, get in tune with your emotional side first, which for a lot of the males, I think is good because you're going to have to, in your traditional dating world, you might not get as emotional and deep with somebody in the first 2 months. Right. I'm married at first sight. You got 2 months to like shed all your stuff.
Right.
For them to say yes on decision day. So I get that. And then Becca said there'll be a lot of good things and a lot of hard things. But then said you have to have some issues where, no, then she said that she has some issues where she cries in the closet sometimes. I'm like, red flag.
Yeah. Now there's your red flag, sir. There is your red flag. Well, then it's Emily's turn to ask the question. And this is where starts off. You see, this problem of these games, these roundtable games, they start off cool. And then they just get derailed, right? Because Emily asks, what is everyone nervous about for the next month? For the next month, because we're celebrating our first month. What's the next month, right?
Yeah.
It starts off with Cameron. And Cameron says fallout because they've been having misalignments. So apparently they got to take it to Jiffy Lube. Get real life.
Got to go to Firestone and get their relationship fixed. So I like how Cameron worded this, because if you really think about it, look at this whole month. Cameron, even though it started out where it seemed like he was bad with how he used his words.
Right.
He's really cautious of how he tries to say things about their relationship. Mm-hmm. And you think about it, he's not really spoken badly about Claire.
Right.
Even on the after party, he hasn't really spoken badly about her. More so on the after party, because we know that was like way months after this whole thing was over.
Yeah.
But he's been pretty respectful. So I didn't have any issue with how he said that. And then Claire comes in talking about how she's been confused, her own feelings, and that she's been reflecting over the 2 or 3 days that they haven't been in communication because Cameron already chose himself. But here's what the gold part for me in this one. Mm-hmm. Cam came out and was like, you know what? F this. Do you want to be together or not on three?
But okay. But you know why? He did that though? Because first, Brennan jumped in and said, hey, are y'all still together? And he was like, yeah, right now we are. And then he's like, you know what? Right now, I did say that. Right now. What about a moment from now? Hey, I got something for you.
I loved it. I was like, you know, let's just stop messing around with it. Do you like me or not? Mm. Is you is
check yes,
or is
check
you
no.
ain't my baby?
Don't put maybe. And it
yeah.
So he goes, on the count of three, you do it. And he said whether we want divorce or want to keep trying. 1, 2, 3. And did you know what they were going to say? Because he says divorce. She says separate.
Yeah, which I thought was interesting because it's like, okay, he said divorce like he's done. Mm-hmm. She said separate, like many of the other people do in the previous seasons, where they still want to hang out with all the other couples and hang out in the apartment. They just want to be together. Alyssa, remember? Yes. Alyssa did that. I don't want to be together, but you can move out, but we can still ride this show out till the end. Mm-hmm. Who wants to do that?
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. So, hey, the interesting thing about it is that right after that, Claire tries to put a cherry on top and says, see, we are aligned. And he's like, hold up.
Mm-mm. Yeah, now. Yeah, now we're aligned. But here's the thing. Cam was very nice and respectful with the way he handled that whole situation. And said that he would not take the days with Claire back and all that stuff. I couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be that nice.
We know.
And so I respect him. Mm-hmm. I'm honest. I know me. But I respect him for the way he handled that, because not everybody could easily do that. I mean, she's not a good person. You know, she's not an Alyssa. So I think that he handled it well, was very mature, very respectful.
Now, Mrs. Smith says, I like that she called his bluff. This is a very different take. She's saying that Claire called Cameron's bluff. Don't put me on the spot, sir. I think he thought she would say stay together. I don't think he thought that. I'm sorry, I got to disagree with you here. I don't think so.
I don't think he thought that either, but what I think he wanted was her to say something.
Yes.
One way or the other. Because her actions aren't saying, let's stay together. So maybe her words would say it, but I think he was looking for something. But this was his way to be like, I really want a divorce. And he chose himself. So even if she would have said, I want to stay together, I don't think he would have been like, divorce together. Oh, really? My bad. Let me take it back. Yeah, I don't think he would have did that.
So it's interesting because, you know, we watch the same show, but we see it different ways. Because Taylor Ann says, he, as in Cameron, is calculated and manipulative. How?
I think it's because he compared her to his dead dog. That's why Taylor said that. That is hilarious.
Then that's exactly right. I love that part. I love that part. He's very careful with his words. He is.
He is. He is. But if you really listen to his words, he's telling you what he really thinks. You just got to like read between the lines.
Mm-hmm. No. No, indeed. Very much so. Well, Brennan then asks if there's anything they would have done differently. And Cameron smartly turns it back. He goes, you know, I think maybe you should answer this question. It feels like this question is for you.
Right, because Cameron's like, you know what? I'm good. I don't need to keep talking about this. I got all I needed today. I'm ready to eat this big steak and french fries. Which, that steak looked amazing. I was like, wow, that looks like a dang good steak.
Yeah.
So he turns it back to Brennan. And did you notice that Brennan just seems turned off by the whole experience? I thought it was just Emily. Mm-mm. He doesn't seem like to be into anything or anybody in this group. And for the seasons that you and I have watched, it seems like there's always that click and camaraderie amongst either the guys or whatever. Yeah. I just feel like there's nothing with Brennan. Like he has no interest in any of this at all.
Yeah. And that's when Claire asks Emily and Brennan if they see a future. And of course, Emily tries to let Brennan answer first. And he gives an answer that makes Emily want to snap because what does he say? You know, taking it day by day.
Taking day by day. Now, I agree. But this is where I wish Emily would have spoke up in front of the group. Mm-hmm. Because how many times you can let this dude talk to you this way? You know, when she gets in front of the camera for the, was it confessionals or whatever you want to call it? Mm-hmm. That's where you hear her speak her mind. And I love how she said, she's mad because he's not giving anything, any emotion about anything. She's like, look, even Austin, no offense.
Yes.
Which anytime someone says no offense, there's offense coming. But even Austin, no offense. But he even has words to say, but not Brennan.
Yeah. Exactly. It's step by step, day by day. That is funny. It's been bad, man. Emily decides she can't take it anymore, leaves for the bathroom, and shuts down Brennan walking out with her. He's like, I'll go with you. No, you don't have to do that.
Why would he? I thought that was dumb. You've treated her like crap all this time.
Yeah.
But also, I'm like, if I'm with someone and they're like, hey, I'm going to the bathroom, I've never said, well, I'm going to come with you.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was weird. Why would you even say you're going to go with her to the bathroom?
Right. Because it's never, you don't have to walk her to the bathroom. If a woman gets up from the table and then other women will get up and go with her, not the guy go, hey, let me help you.
That's kind of creepy. He's like, oh, you're going to the bathroom? All right. Glad I brought these latex gloves.
Black Tornado says he wants to look good to the people. True. And
I don't think any guy would look good. If I'm out even with Yanni and it's like, are you going to the bathroom? I'll come with you. I'd be like, why? Yeah. Excuse me. Let me just stop y'all real quick. Why are you going to the bathroom with her? You sit down. Eat your wings and shut up.
Well, Claire obviously trying to get another client and goes to talk with Emily, you know, try to put on her therapist hat. Did it work?
Well, she's not a licensed therapist, so no. Mm-hmm. It didn't work because what Claire said is, girl, you don't deserve this. You should leave him. And whatever, which is probably not what a therapist would normally say. But at least Claire went out there to go talk to her and help support her a bit. And she's quick to go off and say all things that she had to say about Brennan, but not to Brennan. Until they all decide to leave, and then Brennan... You know, Claire grabs Brennan and it's like, look, she's upset because she really likes you. Now, Brennan is oblivious because if you really watch a lot of the times when they're together.
He is not.
There's, hold on. he's not interested in her. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is when they sit side by side and Emily is making the eye rolls and the face, he's not seeing that.
Okay.
So how could he not understand? If I'm sitting across from you, I could look at her face and be like, dude, she doesn't like anything you're saying. His mind, he didn't see it. And no. So once Claire tells him that, hey, look, she really likes you. She's upset about this. Now, all of a sudden, he says that he really cares for her. And he wants to talk to him. I'm like, Brendan, you don't care for her. You're lying.
Okay. Let's just say this real quick. If you don't like somebody and you want them to know, you let them know. You don't have to see their facial expressions. You can feel the energy. You can't tell me he has no idea. He's lying. Plain and simple. Right? But then he goes out, goes to the car, talks to her. But you still have an issue with her here. Why?
It's not that I have an issue with her. What I said is you're complaining to Claire. Mm. You should be telling Brendan, hey, here's the issue, dude. I'm doing this, I'm this. You wouldn't even tell me anything. You wouldn't even touch me. What the hell? And if you're not interested, let's just end this and stop wasting my time. So once they get into the car, that's when they start having the conversation. And she finally lets him know why she's upset, which I was like, yes, Emily, this is what I wanted. Now, I respect the fact that Emily didn't do it in front of everybody at the table, but I wanted her to because I want the drama. It's reality TV. Yeah. But I wanted her to. But I'm glad that she finally told him. Now, here's where it went south. Brendan said that he's really trying, but the way that he's feeling, this is all he's got. And I know that you're trying harder and you really want more and you deserve better. Mm-hmm. All this is a nice setup to say, I want you to break up with me instead of me breaking up with you.
Yes.
In front of TV, in front of the cameras. That's all he's doing.
Look, so Mrs. Smith says, why are the women the villains? According to y'all, Claire is wrong because she didn't like him. Claire's wrong because Claire was not nice to him, okay? Yet Emily's wrong because he doesn't like her. Make it make sense. We never said that she was wrong for that. Now, Tara may be saying that she's wrong for not speaking up. Explain yourself, sir.
I am happy to explain myself.
Why is Emily the villain?
Hold on. Let me get a sip and I'll explain it. So first off, Emily's not the villain. Both things can be true. Brendan can be wrong and Emily can be wrong. But you can't take the side of the woman because you are one. So... Mm. That's not what I said. What I said was that she's not the villain. She needs to speak up for herself. And because I think that she has a lot to say, she's stronger than this. She has a much stronger personality in the beginning than what she's dealt with Brendan. All I'm saying is just speak up. Instead of rolling your eyes, be like, hey, either give him the church pinch under the table or say, hey, Brendan, can I talk to you outside for a second? And tell him, hey, what the hell, dude? And express yourself. Stop just making the eye motions because the fact that Brendan doesn't like you, he doesn't care. He's not reading your body language because he doesn't care about you. So at some point you got to say, hey, I don't appreciate what you just did and let him, he's not going to get any better, but at least stand up for yourself and say something. That was my whole point about Emily. Claire is the villain because Claire is a rude, fake person. And I think a lot of people, not just me, a lot of people in the comments would agree. So I didn't say anything negative about the women and I wasn't going off about the women, but I'm saying that if we're going to hold people accountable, which I think Yanni and I do a great job of, we talk about women and men, but don't be sensitive and only just focus on the women's side of it and forget everything else that we said for 11 episodes. Geez.
Wow. You sure did to say that, didn't you?
Sorry, that's vodka talking. I hate
don't
that.
Don't try to blame it on the vodka now.
We tried so hard to not to seem like we're bashing women because that's the thing I'd never want to do. I'll bash men more than I would bash women. But I'm just like, don't be defensive now.
It's okay. Don't be defensive now. Don't be defensive now. Cheers. Adrienne says, to counter your point, Adrienne says, when Dr. Pia pointed out Emily's facial expressions, which she did, Brendan said, oh, she always looks like that. So he's aware. He's aware.
He's you aware she makes facial expressions. He's not aware what it means.
No.
You know me for 30 years, right? I can give you a look and you're just like, oh, shit. You know exactly what that means.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care about
it. He doesn't care. But he's not stupid. He knows. He's not stupid.
But I've said he's the problem. All I said is I want Emily to go off on him and say, hey, treat me better, but Brendan is the problem.
Well, Shoshana agrees. She says it's kind of rude to make faces while someone's talking.
I say something. Closed mouth don't get fed, right, Shoshana? Exactly.
And she said, either say something or close your face. Tail. Now, that's harsh. But, and by the way, Taylor Ann says, I want to bring this one up too. She says, you two need to look up control and abusive relationships. She won't let him know because she's scared of him. I would be too. I said this earlier about her and him. And this is, I said this when before we started the show, the live today, about the fact where you like, say something. Don't. No, she can't. This man looks angry all the time. We've seen his anger issues. We know this part.
Okay, so, we do.
She's scared.
But also, let's be honest about what we're doing here. What is this show called? Married at First Sight. What is around these couples for 12 to 15 hours a day? Cameras, crew. And even when the crew leaves, they're not gone. They didn't like fly to California and come back to Denver tomorrow to film. You have people around you. It's a different situation than being around somebody who might be potentially abusive or whatever. Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying. I'm not minimizing the fact that you can come across somebody that make you feel threatened. But there's a lot of support, a lot of lights, and a lot of cameras around you all the time. So it's not the same as just randomly meeting a person and 2 weeks later you realize they're kind of an asshole.
Yeah, well. We'll see. Look, final couple, because after they're gone, because they don't get back with the rest of the couples, Claire and Cameron, they're talking on the bus while Becca's over there sleeping. And, you know, they confirm that they're leaving the show, but then they get back to their apartment. And what's there waiting for them? Their wedding pictures and vows. Oh.
Do you remember?
Didn't it look like Cameron was about to lay a kiss on Claire at one point when they're looking at those pictures? Because she's like, oh, these make me sad. And he's like, oh, these make me really happy. And he starts to do that lean to her like this.
If Claire would have leaned in and kissed him, Cameron would have been down.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Cameron would have been all in if she had been like, you know what? You know, he'd have been in for it. You know, but they decide that he's going to move out and that they are separating, which is what Claire wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get home and they see their vows and the pictures and all that stuff. And the way that Claire's acting all emotional, I just don't buy it. Mm-hmm. Because I think that she's talking about she's sad and sad it didn't work and blah, blah, blah. Then she says, I hope this isn't the last I see or hear from you. What?
I'd be like, no, until the reunion? Yes.
Yes. This is the last you're going to see me until the reunion where I'm going to pull a Cat Williams and bring all the smoke.
We're probably 2 of 5 people who got no smoke from Cat Williams. There's a reason I never asked him for my money when he put me in one of the promos for his for one of his specials back in the day.
Just like plug that real quick, huh?
Yeah, you like that, right? Yeah, exactly. Gotta do that sometimes. Sometimes you just gotta flex.
Damn campus.
Yeah, flex on him. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be an interesting episode next week. But look, before we get out of here, and I know we got to get to the announcement. We'll get to that in a second. I just want to get through some of these comments first. Connie Poodle Mom says, I took obey out of my vows. Remember when you were reciting the vows about the braids for your what people think is the announcement, your wedding that's coming, your nuptials, and you're going to put no braids in there? But she said she took obey because you definitely left obey in there.
Because that's traditional. It's not like I want someone to obey. And if you hear a lot of what I talk about, I don't want someone to obey me. I want someone who's going to challenge me and speak up and not make facial expressions and not tell me what they really feel.
Robin's rantings, raves, and observations also added to it said, and don't wet the bathroom floor after you shower. Then have a mat there that's going to properly soak up that water because I'm not drying off in the shower. It's wet in there. I'm coming out the shower to dry off.
I don't have a mat. My girlfriend laughs at me all the time because when I take a shower, I dry off in the shower, open the door, I throw my towel down, step out, and then I scoot to the sink.
I did not need to hear that at all.
No, I wanted to give you that visual. You're welcome.
No, please. Trust me. It's not there. It's definitely not there. By the way, Robin also said, I just changed my handle in anticipation of my YouTube launch. I'm still going to comment about exercising my handle. You got to let us know about that YouTube launch, though. We would definitely want to check it out. Hilarious. Remember that hug that Emily and Brennan had? Happy mm-hmm. Gardner said that hug was like, peace be with you. And also with you.
And also with you. Yeah. See you next Sunday. All right, then.
Oh, my God. By the way, L. Ramey said the pastor, a.k.a. Pastor Cal, was not pastoring, while High Vibe said Pastor Cal is not a Christian. Really?
Well, but what would you want in that situation? I get you can be a pastor, but you're talking to somebody that tells you they're agnostic. They don't really believe all that stuff. That's not the time to break out the anointing oil and try to throw that at them through the screen and be like, you're going to hell. The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you. That's not the time to do that. And I think that he was just trying to be open-minded to say that, hey, here's what Austin believes. Here's what she believes. But y'all can still be a good match, but you're focusing on the wrong thing. So I think Pastor Cal really handled it well.
Yeah, he did. Remember when Orion was sitting down with Cameron and Lauren was sitting down with Claire? Nikki B brought up a great point here. So Orion can be good with Mr. Reservation, but not his wife. So the man who said something, not the woman who didn't say something, just left.
But we all know we all don't like Orion. I think there's not one of us that follows us or joins this podcast that is an Orion fan.
By the way, High Vibe says, sounds like Terrell needs to add horseback riding and ice skating to the bucket list.
I would. I mean, horseback riding, yes. Ice skating, there's a place, the Whole Foods in downtown Austin, during normally the winter, they'll put a skating rink at the top. And it's artificial, obviously, because it's Austin. It's not that cold. But I've not done it. I've never ice skated. But I would definitely go horseback riding.
I want to see you ice skate because that fall on the ice, especially that first fall, whoo, it's rough.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Remember how you were talking about you and how you like to hoe out on your crawfish? Dallas Boss 88 says Terrell has hot girl summers during crawfish season.
I don't know about all that. I go to town on crawfish. I will put away crawfish a lot during crawfish season.
Yeah, hot girl summer. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's on. I already got my pot. I have an 82-quart sexy pot, and I already have some gas in the garage. I just got to bring my crawfish, my blue crab, my shrimp, and lobster tails. My boil for Fat Tuesday is going to be the shit.
Yeah, you got to get a little bougie, throw the lobster tail in there, huh?
I did. I just want you to know what you're working with.
Layla said, I understand Michael's decision to try again. He was cheated out of this process through no fault of his own. Also, the boy's cute and has his own swag. Respect.
I just respect his emotional intelligence. I mean, I think Michael's a really cool guy so far. We haven't had a whole lot to interact with him, so hopefully this doesn't come back to bite me in the ass. But I think Michael is a really good dude. And so I'm really hoping that he's going to be the savior, him and his future bride, Chloe,
right,
that they're going to be the savior of this show. That they're going to be the one couple that makes it.
Nisha Joy says, Happy New Year. Unrelated side note request. Can you guys do a review on Cat Williams' interview? I'm talking about interview on Club Shay Shay. Okay, back to Married at First Sight. You definitely watched that one, didn't you?
I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was gold. It was awesome. And we won't do a review on it, but all I got to say is it was awesome.
So here we are. We won't do a review on that. But here is the news as we get into 2024, kicking off the new year. Terrell is turning over a new leaf, a whole new leaf. Not moving the ring from the right hand to the left hand, but but you've decided to do something.
I decided that we are going to review the new season of Ready to Love that comes out on the 12th. We're going to start reviewing that next weekend. I remember saying on this show I would never do that show again. I would never do it. It was terrible. But I've had a change of heart. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do Ready to Love.
You know, here's the crazy thing about it. Because last season, we had to connect to somebody on that show. You see, I even ran into Tommy. Because he came into the building to interview with some of the shows in there and ran into him, had him have the message for you, and you still refused then to do it.
I did. And he called me out specifically, and I was just like, nope, I'm not doing it. But I've changed my mind.
Shoshana says, Taro, Ready to Love? How much did you pay him? Nothing.
Not quite true. But that's okay.
This will be interesting. This is going to be another interesting one. So we'll start we'll start doing that. It starts next Friday, right? But got some traveling to do. I'll be in Texas next Friday, as a matter of fact, as getting ready for some other stuff. But we're going to do, so which means Married at First Sight next week is also, we're going to push back a little bit. So we do Married at First Sight probably Sunday, and then the Ready to Love on Monday. Then we'll be back on our regular schedule Thursday, and then for Married at First Sight and Friday as we roll through, at least until I got to go travel again, because we got a road trip to make, man.
Yep, we do. Yeah. And I'll be in Memphis next week. So if anybody has a restaurant recommendation that's not Rendezvous, because I've been there, overrated. Mm-hmm. But if there's other places that you recommend in Memphis, Tennessee, Germantown area, yeah, let me know.
Kitty says, did you forget how awful the show is?
I do. I do know how awful the show is. But in some cases, Kitty, you got to do a trade-off. It's kind of like, you know, the movies that you see with the 18-year-old that keeps messing up. You can either go to jail or go to the military. You got to pick something. I came to a crossroads, yeah, and I had to pick something. Mm-hmm. And the other thing the other option was worse. So I take Ready to Love.
Zoe says, wait, what was the other option that's likened to jail?
Can I tell them?
You can tell them, because Sinan's fans try to throw it out there.
90 Day Fiancé. That's what it was.
I tried to get him to do 90 Day Fiancé.
The problem was 90 Day Fiancé.
So here's the thing. It was 90 Day Diaries, right? And I'm still going to work on him on the original, the OG franchise. Why? Because one of my producers went to the Philippines this over the holidays, right? Spent almost 3 weeks there. While he was in Istanbul, he ran into a guy who's actually shooting the upcoming season of 90 Day Fiancé. So I'm going to work on him. I got you. But we had to make a compromise. I threw the thing I knew he hated the most, trying to get him to go 90 Day, and he took the thing he hated the most and did that instead. Tell stubborn as hell.
See? Thank you. Thank you. It's a compliment.
By the way, Robin says, GTFOH, no! I wanted a wedding announcement.
Sorry.
No comment?
I'm sorry. That wasn't the announcement. The announcement was we're getting Ready to Love. I never said I was getting married or anything like that. I don't know where that came from. All I'm saying is we said there's going to be an announcement, and people kind of had fun with that.
Wait for the next announcement. When when Terrell's going to announce. No.
Married. Married.
Oh, man, babe. We love you guys, man. Hey, if you're still here, do us a favor. Please hit the like button. And if you're not subscribed, please go ahead and subscribe. And then hit the bell for notifications so you know when we go live. We will be bringing back the regular episodes shortly. It's probably going to be another month before we bring it back, just because a lot of moving parts happening right now. Within the next month, we'll look a little different. So thank you all again, man. You make this fun, and we appreciate you. I'm Yanni Rude.
I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.